Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts right now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and I'm glad to be back. Took some time away. Sorry that I haven't been. I didn't come on the show last week and the late week before. Doing a lot of projects, ladies and gentlemen, and probably one of the most important ones is that I, Anthony Johnson, am gearing up to run for state representative here in Philadelphia. I want to try this again. I believe that, you know, things in our community, that it's very pressing and we need to do better. And I think I can do better. I definitely think I can do better than the current, you know, than the current individual that's there. Before we get started with our episode, which is entitled, ladies and gentlemen, To impeach or not to impeach. I really want to have a discussion about, you know, your president, Donald Trump. But before I get started with a lot of the things why I believe that, you know, there are impeachable crimes that that needs to be dealt with. But at the same time, I believe that he won't be impeached. I want to read a letter to you. And it's from a colleague, Gary Norris Gray. He's from El Cerrito, California. And Gary Norris Gray has a show on Blog Talk Radio, The Gray Leopard Cove. And he's a dynamic individual. I love the work that he does. And he wrote this letter that I believe to be very stirring, and I want to read it to you, and I hope that, you know, when I'm done, we can really understand of what's going on here, how bad of a president that the current occupant of the White House truly is. And here it goes. It says, "Dear Mr. President, my name is Gary Norris Gray. I'm a writer, a historian, New York sports fan, disabled African-American, and Native American with cerebral palsy since the age of 2. My father came from a poor farm family in North Carolina. He served his country in World War II in the Far Eastern Theater as a United States Marine in a segregated unit for the very freedom that you, sir, are trying to take away. He has done everything America has asked him to do. My mother is from southern New Jersey, who had to fight not only Caucasians because she was African-American, Native American, but she had to fight black people because she was light-skinned. Both of my parents went to HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. Both of them were teachers in the New Jersey public school system. Both of them taught justice, truth, and harmony. Sir, you might need to work on these traits. My mother attended Hampton University, or Institute, now University in Virginia, and my dad went to North Carolina A&T University. Both parents guided me to the path of college in the 1970s. My goal was to attend Grambling State University in Louisiana, another HBCU. Would not happen because that institution was not wheelchair accessible. This was a path that was very difficult for a child with disabilities at the time. In 1978, I finally crossed the stage with cap and gown at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale with a degree in history and a double minor of Black American Studies and Political Science. As a college graduate, I've always respected individuals in high office. Even though I might have disagreed with them politically, you, my friend, are putting a strain on this long-standing personal policy. I have written every president since 1964 and have enjoyed receiving letters from the White House. Mr. President, most Americans have given you the time and space to establish your programs. It's time to produce some positive images in the Trump administration. Your programs, sir, are creating a hostile racial environment. You, sir, are attacking poor people, people of color, and women. This is being done with your segregates, your cabinet appointees who know little or nothing about politics and do not care how it affects the common American. You, sir, are putting many disabled individuals in danger by cutting the safety nets pinned on to live and cutting the availability to attend the American public school system. You, sir, are putting American seniors in danger of passing the American Health Care Act, throwing 24 million people off of the Affordable Care Act. You, sir, are putting military families in danger by disclosing sensitive military information. You, sir, are putting African Americans in danger by cohorting with the new political alt-right movement and known Ku Klux Klan members. You, sir, have disrespected the former President of the United States, the former Secretary of State, and the former Attorney General. You, sir, have disrespected Gold Star parents who gave their only son to the great nation and who represented Iraqi Americans fighting for the United States. You, sir, have attacked the American press corps for doing their job, reporting the news. You, sir, have attacked the leaders of the Christian world and the Muslim world at the same time. You, sir, have disregarded the health, safety, and welfare of Native Americans in the Great Northwest with the readmission of the Dakota Access Pipeline, which has leaked twice since your presidency. You, sir, have attacked the very foundation that made America great, immigrants. Without immigration, you would not be here, sir. You, sir, are supporting nations that do not have American values or American interests, the values we hold dear. Last, sir, you have cooperated with a foreign power, a power that is our political enemy. You, sir, want Americans to pay taxes, but then you will not let the American public see how much you have paid. Sir, many Americans want to know, are you a man for the people or a man for your own handlers in the background directing your flawed policies? It's time for you to be president of the United States, not the president of rich people, not president of billionaires. It is time for you and your administration to stop causing controversies, confusion, and diversions, and act like the leader of the free world. Sincerely in frustration, Gary Norris Gray. Donald Trump has embarked on impeachable crimes almost before he was sworn in. And here are just some of the impeachable offenses that the American imbecile has tallied up so far. So, one, Trump violating his oath of office by not faithfully executing the laws of the United States, specifically by accusing former President Obama without proof of wiretapping. Trump routinely violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution by accepting money from foreign governments, particularly by steering diplomatic delegations to Trump properties. Three, Trump twice attempting to ban people from several Muslim major countries from entering the U.S., violating their First Amendment rights to practice whatever religion they choose. Four, Trump labeling the press an enemy of the people. Five, the day after the firing of Comey, the former FBI director, the dismissal escalates the administration's Russia scandal and for the first time provides indications of impeachable offenses. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear. Impeachment is a complicated and lengthy process, hindered by unclear language and lack of precedent. While the drafters of the United States Constitution included impeachment and removal of a president in Articles 2, Section 4, can only be done for conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. The language of impeachment was left deliberately vague and is up to political bodies to define. So the framers created this back door, if you will, that generations moving forward, it would be their responsibility to give the impeachment process more of a vision. The concept of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is the key phrase, was built on British law and aimed at the monarch. It was written so the monarch couldn't take the country into private wars that the king decided he wants to do. Impeachable offenses are crimes against the state. Has the president done something that would violate the framework of statehood? In practice, however, it's up to members of Congress to define what that means. Sadly, it's completely political. While it takes only a simple majority in the House to approve articles of impeachment, Republicans thus far have shown almost no interest in abandoning President Trump. Yes, there have been some Republican elected officials who have come out and said, you know, hey, this is not very good, but they haven't jumped. The only possible route for Trump to be ousted from the presidency is for him to voluntarily resign. Certainly, Republican leadership could ultimately coax him into that direction, as it did with Richard Nixon. But there's no indication whatsoever that Trump, unlike Nixon, really cares about what his party, whether that means McConnell, House Speaker Paul Ryan, or the rest of the Trump being enablers on Capitol Hill, have to say. The difference between Nixon and Donald Trump is Nixon actually cared about what was going to happen to him if he continued his foolishness. The jig was up. He was busted. He was caught. And it was easy for Republicans to go to him and say, it's time to pack it in. Donald Trump doesn't care. While there will certainly be the same Republicans who will flirt with the impeachment option, as I said earlier, there were some who have said, hey, you know, this is not good. This is not looking good. Getting America's hopes up only to be dashed, there won't be nearly enough to generate a successful vote in the House. Worse, the Senate Republicans under McConnell will never vote to convict him. I say never, ever. Worse, the Senate Republicans under McConnell, the requirement for two-thirds of the state Senate to vote guilty would currently require 19 Republicans to vote, with every single Democrat plus the two independents. For the sake of reference, during the denouncement of President Bill Clinton's impeachment, the Republicans managed to whip only 45 votes to convict on one count and 50 votes on another. Not even close. Not even close. At the very least, there should be outrage right now, significantly more. There should be viral impeachment scuttlebutt inside nearly every D.C. corridor of power over the fact that Donald Trump allowed two high-level members of a foreign government, Russian foreign minister and an ambassador, into the Oval Office. All of this despite the nearly incontrovertible fact that Russia deliberately tried to undermine our most sacred democratic institution, our presidential election. For the sake of argument, forget collusion. Forget whom the Russians were fighting for. We know almost for certain now that the Kremlin is waging an undeclared cyber war against the United States. This is abundantly obvious. It's not difficult to grasp the mission of the war. It's to illustrate to the world the vulnerability of America's constitutional democracy. And it is working. This can't be repeated enough, ladies and gentlemen. We're engaged in a new kind of war against Russia, with the commander-in-chief as well as millions of unwitting Americans serving as enemy combatants. We were attacked. Bottom line. Again, the best thing we can hope for is for Trump. It's to basically recuse himself, fire himself. Look to the end of the Nixon presidency, by the way, or by way of the end of Sarah Palin's governorship. In the age of Trump, it's easy to miss the forest for the trees. There are so many layers of corruption being piled onto the slag heap that it's nearly impossible to keep track of everything, with only the most egregious offenses rising to the surface. No matter what, impeachment is extremely unlikely. No matter what, I should say, impeachment is extremely unlikely unless Democrats are able to take the House back in 2018. And we'll get to that in a minute. The best constitutional answer is the ballot box. create a divided government in 2018, and perhaps then we all can sit around the table and start talking about impeachment legitimately. The Democrats, on the other hand, are fighting amongst themselves, which is sad, because you still have this war with the Democrats, who supporters of Hillary Clinton and supporters of Bernie Sanders are still bickering, are still fighting. They still can't get over the fact that Hillary Clinton lost. And Hillary Clinton supporters want to blame Bernie Sanders supporters for that. And Bernie Sanders supporters are basically saying it's their fault because they flawed character against an even more an even more flawed character. And that even more flawed character ended up winning. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, and again, I've said this time and time again. Donald Trump won. Now, we definitely know, and I think many of us knew since roughly September of 2016 that Donald Trump was getting help from the Russians. But you know something? Was there any voter fraud? See, it went kind of silent right there. Was there any voter fraud reported? High levels of voter fraud? No. America, there's always going to be voter fraud here and there, but never on a grand scale. Never on a grand scale. And the sad and pathetic thing about Donald Trump was even after he won, and he won the Electoral College, he won the electoral votes, got more than 270, more than what he needed, but he still bitched and whined because he didn't win the popular vote. And then he brought up something that's basically saying, they were voters. People were out there voting illegally. Even Republicans were saying, dude, that's just not true. And rather than just say, hey, it doesn't matter whether I won the popular vote or not, I got the presidency. I won the Electoral College, which is the most important thing. So even now, the Democrats are still eating each other, if you will. All the while, the Republicans are kind of sitting back and saying, look, America, the Democrats are supposed to be the party of sanity, of unity. And they're still talking about it's like losing the Super Bowl. It's like Atlanta Falcons losing the Super Bowl. You know, you're around, you're having friends over, and you're talking about the upcoming season. And I personally will not be watching the NFL, diehard Minnesota Vikings fan, if Colin Kaepernick is not signed to a team. That's another story moving forward. But, you know, Atlanta fans still talking about, you know, oh, New England cheated or they did this. And I said, dude, are you serious? Super Bowl was played back in February, was it? It's almost June and you're still having this conversation? Hillary Clinton lost. She didn't get the votes. The very people that were supposed to go out and vote for her secretly went and voted for Donald Trump, a.k.a. Reagan Democrats. Okay? That's what happened. 54% of Caucasian women, who I'm sure many of them were at a lot of Hillary Clinton rallies, secretly went – no, well, the secret was out because we know 54% of white women went out and voted for Donald Trump. So Donald Trump won the Electoral College. Was it a humiliating defeat for Hillary Clinton? I think so. And I think that's why, in many respects, she can't let it go and her supporters can't let it go. It's because it was humiliating that she had lost to such a flawed imbecile. Poll on the planet had her winning double digit, quadruple digit. And she, you know, going into September when she was still only leading by 5 points, those of us who truly love studying American politics and American government like me, we knew there was going to be a problem because she never distanced herself from him. If you look at all the past presidencies, elections, when candidates, particularly incumbents, when you see an incumbent, and Hillary Clinton wasn't an incumbent, but you would have thought, according to many of her supporters, yeah, she's a shoo-in. Places that she needed to go, she didn't go. She didn't do the things that she needed to do, and her supporters, many of those voters, betrayed her. So going to have a conversation about Donald Trump being impeached, then you look to 2018, the midterm elections. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be frank here, okay? Most Americans do not vote in the midterm elections. Hence why, over the last 10 years now, the Republicans retain their seats and in some instances gain more. For the first time in a very long time, we had a presidential election and many congressional seats was up. That doesn't happen all the time, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't happen. And still, people were so focused on getting Hillary Clinton elected that they went into the polls, pushed the button for Hillary Clinton, turned right around, and walked out. Now, many people will say, well, no, Anthony, that's not true. Many people voted Democrat straight down. No, you didn't. No, of course you didn't. Because had you done that, the Republicans wouldn't have gained more seats had you done that. Now, Republicans do that. When you hear people talk, they say, I'm a Republican, I vote straight Republican. We don't do that. And that's okay because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not that way. If I go into a voting booth and if I say I'm gonna vote for Hillary Clinton and I support her, or I say I'm gonna vote for Bernie Sanders, I'll press that button for them, and then I'll look at the other Democratic people that's up there. If I don't like you, if I don't think you've done a good job in the last 4 to 6 years, if the senator's 6 year, congressional individual 4 years or so, 2 years, I'm not voting for you. Because I would be one of those ultimate hypocrites, criticizing these career politicians, but keep voting for the same imbeciles who are not doing anything. No, that doesn't work that way. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to vote. I'm not just going to go and vote for president when I know 88% of the congressional seats were up in 2016. 88%. Republicans won more governorships, more senatorial seats, more congressional seats. Then they had one in 2010. It was embarrassing because it proved one thing about Democrats. They don't vote. We just had a primary here in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago, and the voter turnout was absolutely pathetic. We have one of the lowest voter turnouts in the nation in the city of Philadelphia. And I say this here this evening on the Anthony Johnson Show. I am in full support of permanently taking away individuals' right to vote who have not voted in the last 10 to 20 years. I believe that is simply a waste. One of our most cherished rights in this country, people have died of all ethnic groups fighting for the right to vote, particularly African Americans. And a large number of African Americans in the city of Philadelphia and in this country don't vote. And when you look at their voting records, many of them, actually brag about it. So my response to that is, then you should lose that right permanently. But don't worry, because there are Republicans that's trying to do that now. Now that the Supreme Court struck down their gerrymandering, now they'll just blatantly come out. They'll say, hey, I heard this guy, Anthony Johnson, this guy from Philadelphia, say he believes that people who have not voted consistently in the last 10 to 20 years should permanently lose their right to vote. We need to start getting some we need to mobilize and get some legislation moving. And you know what? We consider ourselves the greatest democracy on earth, yet we don't vote. Belgium, 95%. Australia, 96%. Germany, 90%. England, high 80s. France, high 80s. America, 63%. Only 63% of Americans vote. In actuality, consistently. That's terrible. It's terrible. Donald Trump will not be impeached. In my humble opinion, I believe that Donald Trump will resign. Not today, not tomorrow, but at some point. He doesn't have to worry about the Democrats because the Democrats will not mobilize by 2018. They will not mobilize. And more, ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Party is looking more like a disfigured, disingenuous group that once fought for us. They fought for the poor, the weak, the sick, the voiceless. Now you see all these Democratic elected officials, you know, make, you know, multimillionaires. These guys came into Congress and many of our elected positions throughout the country at every level, city, state, local, federal, and these guys are multimillionaires. Really? How is that possible? The Republicans will continue to do damage to this country until every American wakes up and see the Republican Party for what they are. An anti-American political party that they will do whatever it takes to win, even selling the country selling our country out. It's interesting that in the 1950s, the Red Scare, Joseph McCarthy from Wisconsin, walked around with an envelope saying that he has a list of 200 known communists, not only in our government and every walk of life. He had this list. Never produced it, never opened that list up and showed anybody, but it was enough to scare people. He was silenced in the Senate. He stayed there. He finished out his term, but he was silenced. Basically, he became an alcoholic during his last few years. As I'm not laughing at the alcoholism, just the how sad it he became. He went from, you know, one of the most powerful individuals in the United States, and then within a few years people thought he was dead when he was still alive. But perhaps he was right, and I think if McCarthy was alive today, he would say, see, Anthony, I told him that our government had been infiltrated by un-Americans. That does it for this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. Good night.